Welcome to the podcast. This is our first podcast. My name's Clint. We've got my brother Derek here.
Hello.
And we're doing a podcast on NFTs. We recently got into this. I know for me, I've been in the crypto scene for a little bit after Bitcoin spiked and tanked. I bought a bunch of different coins and just kind of held on to them. And then the NFT market was something I vaguely knew about, but then Gary V's VFriends NFT drop came out, and that's kind of my first foray into this. But it's really interesting, and excited to talk about it and help educate people, talk about the different NFT projects, what they are, how they work, what we like, that kind of thing. So that's a little bit about me. Derek, how did you get into this?
Like most people, probably started with a little bit of Bitcoin just to see what it was about. Just took as much as I was willing to lose and just kind of didn't look at it for a long time. And then it, you know, got really crazy for a bit, and then you couldn't stop looking at it, you know. And then I had to have you help me buy it and figure all that out. And then and then I heard about these NFTs through some newsletter or something I got online. And then shortly thereafter, Gary V was talking about it. And then I remember about his VFriends launch, right? And then I was kind of interested in it, but didn't really know where to start. And then I found out, like, I was talking to you and you said, oh, I got this thing. I got to be somewhere to do this. And then I knew, because it was right at the time that he was going to do this launch thing, right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where we started talking more about it with each other, and then realizing that we were both kind of interested in it. I always assumed you were interested in it because you've always been into finance, but me, I've never really been into that sort of thing. And so I kind of looked to you for advice because I know you're kind of more well-read and more experienced. So
yeah,
well, that's my history with it.
It was fun. It's been quite a ride so far, for sure. It's a crazy thing. All right, well, so before we get started, just a disclaimer for everybody: we're not financial professionals. Nothing we talk about is financial advice. Invest in NFTs at your own peril. it could be a rocky ride. So only invest funds you can afford to lose. Before we get into NFTs, we want to talk about the technology that these non-fungible tokens are built on, and that'll help you understand a little better how they work and how ownership is transferred, how to buy them, that kind of thing. And so just understanding that underlying technology is going to be helpful. And so that involves talking first about blockchain, cryptocurrency. So this episode is a primer on those technologies to help launch you into understanding NFTs a little better. We're only going to cover it at a high level here, though. We're not getting into the nitty-gritty details, but we'll give you enough information, hopefully, that you at least have some notion of how these things work.
Right. Yeah, I still am trying to figure out what it is. So I think that just us taking the time to look into it and talk about it will definitely help me gain some clarity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the longest time, blockchain was this mysterious idea that people talked about that I never really bothered to look into until more recently. And, you know, it turns out it's actually not that complicated of a thing. It's basically just a type of database, just a way to store information. You know, it's distributed, it's all over the place. So it's a lot harder to mess with the details of this database. So you can imagine, you know, people hack a database at your financial institution and they steal all your credit card information and then they go on a shopping spree on Amazon or something, right? So that happens because that database is like locally central to that bank.
Yeah. So how exactly is this not centrally located? Like how, what does it look like when you talk about a blockchain? Is it, I mean, what is it? Why do they call it a blockchain?
Yeah. Right. Good you question. Know? So, it's a database that stores information, and those information, the information stored in blocks. So you'll have some block of information, could be anything, could be information about, you know, something you own, you know, the contents of your wallet, or something else, right? It's just a way to store information, and it's stored in this block of data. And then, there's multiple blocks of data in the blockchain, and they're connected together. And the way that connection works is what defines what a blockchain is. So you have the first block with some information in it, and then another block with information in it, but that new block has a link back to the old block, and it's called a cryptographic hash. And that hash is basically a way of encoding all the information that's in the previous block. And so in every subsequent block of information, it has all the information required to verify that the previous block is accurate and correct. What makes this really secure is that if you were to try to go in and alter any of the blocks, not only do you have to alter the information in that block, but you have to alter the information in every block afterwards, which would be really hard to do.
Is it the same information in each block, or what's contained in each block?
Yes. So like it started, blockchain started as a ledger for Bitcoin. What a ledger is just like, you know, recording down transactions, like Joe sent 30 Bitcoin to Fred, you know, and then Fred sent some Bitcoin to somebody else. And then, you know, just kind of this transaction of Bitcoin back and forth. It's just a way to record that information of like who sent what to who and how much of it they have and all that kind of thing. And you can imagine with these financial transactions, you wouldn't want somebody to be able to hack into them and change the information, right? They could steal your Bitcoin from you or something like that. And so the way it'd work is you have like a bunch of different transactions in one block, and those transactions get verified. We don't have to get into the details of how that works exactly, but they get verified, and that new block is considered like a verified block of information. And then a new block begins, and that new block contains new transactions, but it also contains that little hash that links back to the previous block that, that you could use to verify. Let's say somebody went back into that previous block and changed the balance of somebody's Bitcoin. Well, uh-huh. You could look at that hash and verify that that hash no longer matches that previous block. And so somebody went in and messed with something. When that happens, you could determine that somebody messed with that information. The reason that that works, the blockchain works in a secure way, is because that information is not stored in one place. It's distributed, right? So like there's a bunch of different nodes around the world. Nodes are just people or organizations that have a copy of the whole blockchain. And they all have their different copies of the blockchain. So it's like redundant storage of information, right? It's like having multiple copies of a photograph. So all these people have these different copies of the blockchain. And if one person goes and tries to mess with the blockchain to hack one of the blocks and do something bad with it, everyone else will be able to say, oh no, that doesn't match what we have in our blockchains. And they can basically vote that that person's version as being discredited or faulty or broken. And then it just gets voted out. The photograph analogy is a good one. So let's say I take a picture of something, right? And I make 10 copies of that. And I give it to 10 of my friends. We all have a copy of this photo. You can think of that photo as being the blockchain, right? And the photo is one block. And we all can look at the photo and agree that this is a valid photo, right? And we all have a valid copy. And then when a new block is going to be made, a new photo, we take a new photograph, but in that photograph, we also include the picture of the other photograph. So you're taking like a photo of the photo with some extra information, right?
Okay.
And so now that new photograph has a picture of the old photograph in it, So I can't go and mess with the original photograph, right? Like if I do that, then I'll be able to tell in that new photograph that, hey, right, these don't match up anymore, right?
Yeah.
And if any one of my 10 friends tries to mess with the photograph, the other 9 will be able to say, hey, you have a bad copy.
Right.
That doesn't work. And so essentially every single new block has a copy, not only of the last block in it, but every block previous to that too, in a way, right? So because you're always having this link back to the previous information, in order to mess with any one of the photographs, you'd then have to also mess with every other photograph afterwards. And you'd have to mess with everybody's photographs, at least the majority of the photographs, so that everybody would be able to say, oh, look, ours all match. So,
right. And so that's good for like cybersecurity.
Yeah.
I guess it could be applied to lots of different things.
Right. So like, that's one of the cool things about blockchain is first, it was just a ledger for these Bitcoin transactions, but now people are starting to think of it as something that could be used to, and they are using it as ways to verify all kinds of other information like ownership of property or the supply chain of food to make sure that it all goes through the supply chain the way it's supposed to, and it doesn't get tampered with at any point in time through this kind of record of transactions that are guaranteed and they can't be hacked or altered, right? Whereas a central database is vulnerable to that kind of thing. Anybody with admin privileges on a central database could go in and change some numbers if they wanted and be nefarious, and nobody would necessarily even know that that happened. You know, depending on how they implemented it. So that's what's cool about blockchain is it's like this distributed, this big database, this way of storing information where, you know, each block of information is kind of validating and verifying the previous block of information. So it makes it really hard to mess with it. And because it's distributed, it means that, you know, it's easy to recover. If one of the nodes were to fail, it's not like all your information's lost, or if somebody tries to tamper with one copy of the blockchain, everyone else can vote and say your copy of the blockchain is bad, don't use it, that kind of thing. Yeah, so that's kind of how it works. The technology that blockchain is, it's not like there's just one blockchain out there. Blockchain is just a definition of a way of storing information. And so you have like the blockchain that supports Bitcoin, and then there's another blockchain that supports some of the other cryptocurrencies like Ethereum, for instance. You and I could make a blockchain if we wanted and store our own information on it, and we could start minting our own cryptocurrency if we wanted.
Blockchains, how do they communicate with each other? Or you can't look up something that's on the Bitcoin blockchain and have it affect and like an Ethereum blockchain, right? Like it's two parallel tracks, kind of.
Yeah,
like,
they're their own
intersection.
They're their own separate things, right? So like they're totally different photographs, if we use that previous analogy, right? They're not even part of the same chain of photographs. So there are exchanges that will facilitate exchanging one type of currency for another. So that gets into like, what's cryptocurrency, right? Like, so you have blockchain, which is this technology for storing information in a secure and distributed way, right? Like that's the easiest way to sum that up. And the technical details of it don't matter a whole lot. Just know that it's distributed, it's secure, and it's a way to store information, right? Securely and with tamper-resistant technology. And then cryptocurrency is just something that was built on the blockchain as, well, just uses the blockchain to facilitate its transactions, right? So just like right now with money, banks facilitate the transactions, right? Or I have paper cash in my hand and I give it to somebody, but eventually they deposit it somewhere and it gets again facilitated by some bank or something, right? Well, cryptocurrency is essentially, it's just like real cash. It's a digital version of it. It's a digital token or digital currency, digital asset, you have to give it that way. And you can trade it for goods or services, right? Just like if I have a $5 bill in my pocket, I can go down to the store and you know, buy a candy bar or something, right? Like you can do that with cryptocurrency too. It's just that when you buy something with cryptocurrency, that transaction is stored on a blockchain of some sort.
So it just keeps track of everything.
Yeah. that's what,
more or less, right?
Yeah, for cryptocurrency,
basically what it does.
Yeah, exactly. And the cryptocurrency is just a method for purchasing things, and it uses blockchain as the way to store information about those transactions.
I see. Yeah, that's where I get confused. Is you start thinking about it as money, actual money, but it's saying you have, it just keeps track of how much you have and then where you're distributing it.
Yeah, exactly.
With whatever you're doing,
yeah.
Whether it's online purchases, online agreements between other people, or contracts, right? Like the smart contracts, right? That's part of it. And it just keeps track of everything.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah.
Basically does.
It just
it's a safe way, verifiable way to keep a valid record of everything that's going on everywhere.
Yeah. And it's super secure. Like there's been problems with people faking titles to cars these days, you know, so they'll fake a title to a car and they'll use it to like borrow against that car or something,
right?
Even though they don't actually own the car. And, you know, if car titles were stored on the blockchain and ownership of car titles were stored on the blockchain, then that couldn't happen. Because first of all, they wouldn't be able to fake it because there's a verifiable yeah, right. owner of that thing, and they'd have no way right. of proving that they owned it. And so that's what's cool. And then they couldn't go in and hack the blockchain and make it look like they owned it, because to do that, they'd have to defeat all the built-in security of you know, what blockchain is, which is basically impossible. So,
right.
So it's a great way to record transactions, but also to prove ownership of something, right? To prove
right.
that you own it and no one else owns it.
Yeah, because there's home title theft.
That too.
Going on. People take, yeah.
Yeah. Same kind of thing.
And people say that you sold them their house, and then they'll go get a loan against it.
Yep.
And you won't even know.
Yep.
Until.
So you go to sell your home.
Yeah. Until you go to sell your home.
So you go to sell your home and somebody borrowed $80,000 against it. Yeah.
That's crazy. That'd be horrible.
Right. But that happens to people. And that's what's cool about blockchain and, you know, this whole technology is it. It's a way to avoid those kinds of problems. It's a super secure way to avoid that. Other people like cryptocurrency though, too, because of its unregulated nature, you know? So right now, you know, the US dollar is regulated by the US government, and
right.
you know, so they can make the value of that dollar inflate at a certain rate if they want. And they do on purpose, you know?
Right.
And they can just print more of it if they want to fund whatever crazy things they want to do.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing happens, so that they dilute the value of the dollar. But then, you know, right. even in other countries where the economy and the government is so unstable, you can imagine, like, imagine if you lived in Afghanistan, where would you save your money? Where would you store your
right.
money? You wouldn't put it in a bank, probably. Or if you did, you'd be kind of worried, you know?
Wasn't recently in Venezuela, like people had like barrels full of cash and they couldn't afford it, wouldn't buy them anything.
Yeah.
Right. Cause their like economy and just took a dump.
Right. Their economy crashed. But if they had had their assets in a decentralized currency that didn't depend on their local government, then that can't happen. Right. It's a global,
right.
global asset. I think the only reason it doesn't work that way currently, though, is because cryptocurrency is still very volatile, right? So,
right.
you know, the US dollar is roughly worth a dollar no matter what, right? But like,
right.
you know, with cryptocurrency, it's like, imagine that today it's worth a dollar, tomorrow it's worth $1.80, and the day after that it's worth 20 cents. It's like,
yeah.
it's too volatile. Well,
and it's volatile because people they don't know if everybody else is going to trust it the way they want to trust it, right? So everybody's kind of like, this is great, but then like people start saying how it's, you know, knocking it for whatever reason, or if government intervention comes in, that could really cause a big problem, right? And I don't see how they could do that now.
Yeah.
I mean, because can't people just decide, screw you, government, we're going to do this all on our own and transact things on our own?
I mean, they can. I think that, you know, the issue, of course, is the government could still, you know, crack down if they find out you're doing that kind of thing. Like, they've more or less banned cryptocurrency in China currently. And there's a few other countries that ban it altogether as well. But I think, you know, people are...
Well, what's stopping people from using it anyway? Like,
nothing technically, but I mean, if you imagine you live in China and they find out that you're trading cryptocurrency when you're not supposed to, it's not like you just get a fine or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and then I wonder if governments can seize your digital assets.
I don't know. It'd probably be hard for them to, depending on how you have it stored and where you have it stored. So like
that would bring to mind, like eventually, like it's decentralized now, but is it always going to be that way?
Yeah. I don't know.
Because you know what, if, I don't know, seems like, I mean, for now it's good, but it seems like there could be a possibility that it, like, maybe won't be.
Yeah, you know? Where the government's coming and regulate it. It's possible. Yeah. It's possible. I mean, it may be the case that some level of regulation might help stabilize the currency, though, which may make it more attractive as an investment vehicle, or at least for something to actually hold in on a regular basis instead of just for speculation. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it is volatile. Cryptocurrency is not, you can in theory use it just like real money, but it's really volatile and not everywhere will take it like it's real money, right? Like you can't go buy a house with Bitcoin currently. You'd have to first convert it to US dollars somehow, you know?
So if you were to sell your Bitcoin, like what, or any of your cryptocurrencies, what happens? Like you sell, like, let's just say you want to cash it out. Mm-hmm. You want to get like American dollars.
Yeah.
Or where does that come from?
So usually you'll have exchange. Yeah. So one of the crypto exchanges like Coinbase or something like that, they basically will say, oh yeah, we'll give you the money for that cryptocurrency. They probably have somebody on the other end of that trade. Right. So like there's somebody else.
If you sell it, somebody's buying it.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's possible that the exchange itself might be buying it, but probably not. They're probably just facilitating a transaction between you and somebody else.
Right.
Who wants to buy that cryptocurrency.
Like a stock.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of how stocks operate.
Yeah, stocks, all that stuff works pretty much the same way. It's like you buy the stock, well, you're buying it from somebody. You're not buying it from the company unless it's an IPO or something. But so you're buying it from somebody else who's trying to sell it. It's basically how it works. Yeah.
So
that's blockchain, cryptocurrency. At some point you'll have to, when we talk about NFTs, the reason this is important is because NFTs are often purchased with cryptocurrency and the ownership of the NFT is recorded on a blockchain. And so that's how all of this kind of wraps around back to what NFTs are and how they're used. Which is another discussion, but
right. Yeah, we'll be able to get into that a little bit next time.
Yeah, NFTs it's the wild, wild west right now in the NFT land.
Yeah.
But there's lots of opportunity and lots of potential money to be made.
You
know what to do.
Yeah, right. It is pretty exciting. It's definitely interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Some of it you just don't understand at all. You know, it's like, how is it? Like, I think everybody's just super excited about it. And it's like, well, is this just like a bubble, right? Because everybody, you know, same with the cryptocurrencies, it's like up and then it's down. And it changes on a daily basis.
Yeah. It might be a bubble. There's reasons to think it's not. And that's something that, you know, maybe we'll get into in the next episode when we talk about NFTs is, you know, what they are, how they're used, and why they might be around to stay. So
we'll see.
Thanks for joining us for our first podcast episode. It's probably terrible, but
it will be. It's bound to be.
But, maybe we'll get better with time. Tune in next for the next episode. We'll do. We're going to talk about NFTs, what they are, how they work, and why you should be interested in these things.